Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this Friday the 13th, 2018. And that is merely a coincidence that we have Les Lanphier on the program on Friday the 13th. And it's great to have him back on the program. This is our first two-hour interview with Les. Les was on the program once before when I was doing on-site interviews at a major Bible conference, and he happened to approach the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitors booth, and we had a wonderful interview with him then, and we are so delighted to have a fuller interview, more complete and thorough interview now on his film, Calvinist. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Les Lanphier.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris.
In fact, I'm going to give our listeners our email address right now. It is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question happens to involve a personal and private matter. Let's say you are starting to wonder about this doctrine known as, or these teachings, I should say, known as Calvinism, and you are in a church where your pastor despises these teachings. Perhaps you're the only one who is being drawn to study them, or perhaps you have already come to believe in them, and you are worried about making that public. Or perhaps you're even a pastor who has begun to study them and think favorably upon the Calvinistic doctrines, and the denomination that you're in or the congregation that you're in is historically anti-Calvinist. There's a number of reasons why someone might want to be anonymous, and we will respect your wishes. But if it's not a personal and private matter, please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. We are talking, as I said, about the movie Calvinist. It's a documentary created by our guest, independent filmmaker Les Lanphier. And first of all, tell us a summary, if you will, about this documentary before we go into your personal testimony of salvation. Even though you've been a guest before, we had a very brief interview the last time, and I want to have more of a complete understanding of your background, what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what providential circumstances the Lord used in your life to draw you to himself and save you. So we will get to that in a moment. But before that, give our listeners something of a summary of the documentary Calvinist.
Sure. So I became a Calvinist in a movement that has been described as the Young, Restless, and Reformed movement. And I have since sort of, I would like to say, matured in my understanding of the doctrines of faith and, or doctrines of grace. And
Now you're old, you're Calvinist and cranky.
Yes. Also known as a Presbyterian. So being in that movement, I saw this, this very dramatic thing happening all over the country, it seemed, where all these young people were becoming Calvinists. And I found myself in a situation. I have a podcast and things like that. So So I found myself in a situation where I was sort of surrounded by these people, hearing very similar stories from everyone about the kinds of people that they were listening to, you know, 10 years ago, and that were really piquing their interest in these doctrines. And I kind of realized that there was a very cohesive shared experience that all these people seemed to have. And so I found myself in a situation where I was able to at least reach out and ask if people would be interested in seeing a movie about a documentary about this this time frame and about this experience and this phenomenon. And I was very fortunate to get, I did a Kickstarter and raised three times as much money as I asked for. And I was able to devote an entire year to traveling all over the country and interviewing all of my heroes in the Reformed faith and putting together this film. So the film is sort of an overview and recounting of this time frame, but also it goes into the history of Calvinism and the biblical defense of the 5 points of Calvinism and things like that.
Well, I want to give a list of these heroes that you just mentioned who participate in the documentary: R.C. Sproul, Paul Washer, Shai Lin, James White, Michael Horton, Joel Beakey, Timothy Brindle, R. Scott Clark, Kevin DeYoung, Ligon Duncan, Summer Yeager, who is James White's daughter, who I've known since she was a tiny, tiny, tiny little girl, John Piper, Joe Thorne, and Carl Truman. In fact, most of these, with the exception of a few, have been on this program. And as I was mentioning to you before the show, it was kind of, not even kind of, it was clearly providential over lunch today when I was having, sharing a fellowship over lunch with a man that many in my Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience will recognize because he has frequently been a co-host, Buzz Taylor, and Buzz will be returning at some point in the future. There were various reasons why he has not been heard as a co-host lately. He was away in Buffalo visiting his mother for a while, then he got injured, and then he began to really dig into finishing a book on eschatology that he is writing. But I was having lunch with Buzz Taylor, and I happened to mention when he asked, what are you doing your show on today? And I said, I'm doing it on the documentary known as Calvinist. And when I mentioned a couple of the people that are participants in this movie, and Shai Lin was one of them, he said, oh, Shai Lin, I know him very well. And I said, really? Because Buzz, if you ever see Buzz, rap and hip-hop don't come to mind when you when you see Buzz. Buzz says, Buzz told me that he was Shai Lin's truck driving instructor about a decade or more ago when Buzz worked for Schneider Trucking, and he also gave Shai Lin a car. And Shai Lin, from what I understand, when he visits this area, actually visits one of my key sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, the Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. So I did call Shai to leave him a message and to invite him on this program as well, because it's a very controversial issue in regard to Christian hip-hop and rap, and I wanted to take both sides of that issue and have Shai as a part. And, of course, there are even more than two sides to that. There are many sides to that. But I'm looking forward to hopefully getting Shai on the program. Looking forward to getting many of these men on this list back on the program. And it's always a joy to interview those that you've included in this show, in this movie.
Shai Lin was the most elusive person to get on. I had some preliminary conversations with him to see if he was interested, and he kept telling me maybe, and then very last minute when I was in Philadelphia at Westminster, right before I got on the plane, he texted me and said, okay, let's meet. I had to change my plans and go set up for it, but I'm so glad I did. Yeah, he's such a wonderful brother, and he's probably, out of all the people that were in the movie, he's let me know the most how much he appreciates it. So I'm so glad he was a part of it.
Great. Well, I'm going to play the audio for a trailer for the movie, and obviously when you're playing the audio, especially on a trailer, it loses a lot because there's usually very fascinating graphic images that help set up the mood for the movie. But since this is a radio program, we're going to have to deal with the audio. But here is the audio for the trailer for Calvinist.
Time a child in the United States enters kindergarten, he begins to be taught and to learn, if only through osmosis, a particular understanding of the nature of man, this concept of free will, that man is free to choose the good or evil on either side. That's a blasphemous doctrine. The Bible tells us that something happened radically to the constituent nature of humanity in the fall.
A reformed resurgence has always been the young, restless reformed.
And it was all I could do not to scream out, Jesus wants the rose!
Do they call you pastor here or dude?
And that's the way it was in the Reformation.
Makes Calvinism Calvinism is the view of Scripture that emerged out of the Reformation.
Why does he still find fault? For who resists will? And the answer from Paul is, who are you, O man, who answers back to God?
If you believe that God's love for you was set upon you not for anything in you or that you've done, it sets you free to serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
There's nothing you can earn. It's a weight off for people.
I can't even see the kingdom of God, Jesus told Nicodemus. I have to be born again.
Well, there you have it. That was the one of the trailers that is available on YouTube for the movie The Calvinist, or should I say Calvinist, I'm sorry. And I noticed that there were some names left off that list that I read to you from the IMDb.com website. Stephen J. Lawson, obviously, is an important figure that's a participant in this documentary. And Joel Beakey. Oh, I actually read Joel Beakey's name. But if I missed anyone, it was not my intention, because there are, I think, a lot more names than are included on the IMBD website there that I got that list from. Surely a wonderful lineup of representatives of the doctrines of sovereign grace. And now we can enter into how you became Les Lanphier. And I'm not talking about the moment you were conceived. I'm talking about how you became this filmmaker and specifically a on-fire, theologically reformed Christian who wanted to use your talents and create this movie, and it all begins with how you were raised as a child. I don't know what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, but tell us about that and how you providentially came to be drawn by God to himself and become a born-again believer, and then, of course, how you discovered and embraced and fell in love with the doctrines known as Calvinism, Reformed theology, the doctrines of sovereign grace, the doctrines of free grace. There's so many different descriptions, but tell us about that story.
Sure. I grew up without any real religion. My mom would always say that she was a Christian, but we never went to church. There actually was a small stint when I was like 15, maybe, where my mom, she wanted to start getting connected to church again, so she'd take me out. That was a really nice time. I remember that very fondly. But I had a friend who, since like first grade, I would go over to his house. He was one of my closest friends. And his father was a very devout Christian, and he was raised in a Christian home. And that was the most exposure that I got. And they would take me to church whenever I would stay over on the weekend. And the father he would pay for me to go to Christian conferences with his son, and he cared about me a lot and cared about my soul, and that was a huge blessing. Just looking back on it, I didn't get saved through any of that, although I thought I did a couple of times. We went to an Acquire the Fire conference when I was 16, I think, and I came back to school and I told everybody I was a Christian, and very shortly after that I was using drugs and being promiscuous and all that. I essentially was a practicing atheist, more of an agnostic. I didn't really care much about religion, but I definitely didn't believe. And I was also into psychedelic drugs in the latter part of my high school career. So after I graduated, the same friend, he knew that I was sort of working in a gas station in our small town, Port Allegheny, Pennsylvania. He was going to Penn State. He lived on the State College campus. So he invited me to come live with him, just to kind of get out of this environment, this sort of small town, and all my drug friends were around me, and it was just he wanted to pluck me out of it. So I lived with him for a little while, and then he wasn't really a practicing Christian at the time, but he had all this background. So we found ourselves in a situation where I was unemployed. I lost my job in State College. And he was dropping out of school, both of us mainly basically because we were doing a lot of things we shouldn't have been doing. And then he got hooked up with, I think it was Crew, and they were preaching the gospel to him, and he was starting to really embrace his faith as an adult. So one day, we had driven home, and we were on our way back. I was coming down off of some pills that I had taken, and I was the most depressed I'd ever been in my life. And he came, and he came to pick me up. So I got in the car with him, and we were driving back to State College. And he asked me what was wrong, because I was clearly there was something wrong. And all I could say, the only thing that I could sort of articulate how I felt, was that I just want to be a good person. So looking back on that, I think that I was really seeing my sin, and that was the best way that I could say it. I just want to be a good person. So we were in this old, broken-down Jeep. It was a green Jeep, and he pulls it over to the side of the road, and he reaches in the back seat, and he pulls out his Bible, and he starts explaining the gospel to me. And he says that I'm a sinner, and I deserve to die, but Jesus wasn't a sinner, and he doesn't deserve to die, but he died. And then he explained that Jesus was dying as a substitute for my sin. Now, I'd heard the phrase, Jesus died for your sins, a million times, but I never quite understood what it meant. And all he did in that moment was connect the dots to show me the idea of substitution, that Jesus died for your sins, in place of you. And in God's sovereignty, in God's electing grace, in that moment, he opened my eyes, and it just clicked. It finally made sense. So I remember just sort of having this confused look on my face the whole drive back home. I was just like, wow, this is. I think I believe this. And then for the next few weeks, I would just stare up at the ceiling in my bedroom in this dorm room and just say, like, this huge dumb smile on my face. And I was broke, and I had no future. I had no idea what the future held for me, but I would just stare up at the ceiling with a smile and say, you're real and you love me. And I was just absolutely blown away. And looking back on that, obviously, now that because I wasn't a Calvinist for probably 6 years after that, but looking back, it's so abundantly clear that God opened my eyes in that moment in a way that I never could have chose for myself.
Well,
so that's how I came to faith.
In fact, it might be wise of us. I very often take it for granted that everybody who listens to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio understands what Calvinism means, understands what Reformed theology means. But I do hear from people who listen to this program who are not Reformed, and sometimes they're not even Christian. I hear from Muslims occasionally, and I've heard from atheists and members of the Unification Church, Reverend Sung Young Moon's cult. I've heard from all different kinds of people. So, in summary form, before we hear how you became a Calvinist, and of course, you became a Calvinist by the doctrines of sovereign grace, or should I say by the grace, by the grace of God. But as far as the earthly providential occurrences that came about, before we hear that, if you could let our listeners know, in summary form, what Calvinism or Reformed theology is.
Sure. I think that the easiest way to summarize it is to say that all religions are synergistic. All man-made religions and even misunderstandings of biblical Christianity are synergistic, meaning that there is God is doing his part, and it's now up to man to put in some sort of effort towards God. And usually in mainstream Christianity, that's called making a decision for Christ. So Jesus is trying to save everyone, and now all you have to do is, he's reaching his hand out as far as he can. Now all you have to do is grab his hand, essentially. Make your decision. He's trying to save you. Let him save you. Where Calvinism essentially removes all of that effort that you could possibly have, and it does that because it's embracing the biblical idea that you're unable to have any part in your own salvation. You can't choose Christ because you're unable by nature. It's who we are. So that brings in a lot of offensive concepts to our flesh, but are all very biblical, such as the idea that God must have elected a certain group of people before the foundation of the world based on nothing that they had done, good or evil, and he chose that he would save them. And that means that he chose not to save others. And then also in time, even when we were rebel sinners and wanted nothing to do with God, he chooses on his own time, through his own means, to open our eyes by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's a miracle that he performs on people that actually want nothing to do with him until he does make that change, and then they love him.
Amen.
So that's essentially it. It's all God, zero us in salvation.
When I worked back in the 90s for a major Christian radio station in New York, which is an affiliate of the Salem Media Group, which is the largest Christian radio network in the world, when I worked for WMCA, I founded and created a nightly program called The Voice of Sovereign Grace. And it involved multiple participants, some of whom are actually on the list of speakers in your movie, Calvinist.
Wow.
And Joel Beakey, actually, The Voice of Sovereign Grace was Joel Beakey's very first radio program, because he was once a part of a denomination that didn't believe in using radio, believe it or not. And then one of the reasons he left that denomination, because of a hyper-Calvinistic leaning, to say the least. But anyway, I invented a tagline, or an opening statement, I should say, for The Voice of Sovereign Grace that went like this. It defined sovereign grace as being the fact that God alone saves sinners because sinners cannot even help save themselves. Would you agree with that summary of Calvinism?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a way to summarize it in just a few words. Well, now let's hear how you... In fact, you know what I'm going to do, since we are rapidly approaching our first break. When we come back, I'm going to have you give a summary of your testimony of how you discovered and fell in love with Calvinism, the theme of your documentary, Calvinist. And we will also take listener questions. But if you would like to join us on the air, there are already people waiting to have their questions asked and answered. But if you'd like to get in line, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages with Les Lanfear and more about his movie, Calvinist.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis. And World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your world trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And that was the voice of Rich Pierce of Alpha and Omega Ministries. I don't know if you recognized his voice there, Les, but
yes.
We thank him a lot for participating in that ad for us. For those of you who just tuned us in, this is Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have as our guest today for the full 2 hours with 90 minutes to go, Les Lanfear, independent filmmaker and producer of the movie or documentary Calvinist. If you'd like to join us on the air with your own question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Now, you already somewhat gave us a summary of how you came to the doctrines of grace in the very beginning of the show when you were talking about why you created this movie. But if you could perhaps give us some more detail, although still somewhat summarized, about what it was lacking, what specifically the things that were lacking that you came to realize were lacking in your theology as someone who was regenerate, who loved Christ, who loved his word. You believe you were born again, and you're following Christ, you're worshiping him, and you're learning about him. But then all of a sudden you start to recognize, wait a minute, there's something wrong with there are certain things that I believe that aren't meshing with the Bible. If you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So shortly after my conversion, I moved to Florida, and I would start attending whatever kind of church I could. And I had no discernment. I had no understanding of doctrine. I had no idea. So the first church I was a part of was actually an IHOP church, which, if people don't know what that is, it is on the fringes of craziness as far as Christian churches go. And I was actually baptized in that church, which there's a woman pastor, and they had me speak in tongues afterwards. So very interesting beginning, and the Lord slowly, progressively put me in more solid churches. And I ended up in a Calvary Chapel, a really big Calvary Chapel in my town here. And
of course, a lot more reserved than the IHOP.
Yes, much better theologically and ecclesiologically as well in a Calvary Chapel. So right around this time was, like, you know, as I identify in the movie, this resurgence was happening. All of a sudden, all these young people were discovering this thing called Calvinism, and they were talking about it. And this group of young men who were sort of in leadership at this Calvary Chapel, they all became Calvinists, and they started teaching Calvinism in the church. And that became a really, really big problem at this Calvary Chapel. So they had all the leadership start signing documents saying they don't believe in Calvinism. From the pulpit, they would start teaching against it and saying it's a doctrine of the devil. And I was in pseudo leadership in a young adults ministry. So I was a Calvary Chapel fanboy, and this piece of contraband started getting passed around Calvary Chapel, and it was called Amazing Grace: The History and Theology of Calvinism.
Excellent documentary. Excellent, yeah. Excellent.
By Eric Holmberg, who has reached out to me, and he said that he thinks my movie, he thinks my movie is better than his.
Wow.
I disagree, but it's a huge compliment. I really, really
oh, yeah. His is a lot longer, but
yes,
but very good. I would say they are on the same par of greatness.
Yeah. No need to compare them. I just wanted to let you know that he complimented me, which I really, really appreciate. But I watched this movie, and it was my mission to disagree with Calvinism because I cared about Calvary Chapel. I wanted to defend the doctrines that Calvary Chapel held to. So as I'm watching this movie, the first thing that's brought up is, they're going through the history and they talk about Pelagianism, and they say that Pelagianism is this teaching that we're born clean slates. We're not stained by our parents' sin, by Adam's sin, and we are free to sin or not sin, and we only learn sin from our parents. And I turned it off at that point because I said, "Oh, that's it. That's the answer to Calvinism, Pelagianism. No big deal." So I didn't continue watching it to find out that it was a bald-faced heresy, and it's been rejected by the church for centuries. So I went back to Calvary Chapel, and I stood in front of a young adults ministry, and I taught them that we are born clean slates, that we have, there's no sin staining us, tabula rasa. And one of the guys in this young adults ministry afterwards confronted me and he started debating me. And this guy's name was Tanner, who I now host a podcast with, probably 10 years later. So he and this other gentleman would approach me. They would debate me. And this one time I was praying with a kid that had been saved 20 times, and this was his 21st time. And I had him pray the sinner's prayer, and I popishly declared him saved. And my other friend, who's actually in the movie, he approached me and said, "You know that didn't save him, right?" And I brushed him off. And then he sent me a video link, and it was a link to a Paul Washer sermon. And the Paul Washer sermon was all about these mills that we run people through, where we have them pray the sinner's prayer, and we say, "Well, if you're too embarrassed to pray, just repeat after me. And if you don't want to repeat after me, just squeeze my hand if you agree." And then Paul Washer says, "Behold the power of God," in this amazing sarcastic tone. And then,
yeah, leave it to Paul Washer to make you feel to make you feel uncomfortable, as he did in that clip in Calvinist, where he tells a crowd of young people, "I don't know why you're clapping, because I'm talking about you."
Yes. So he was talking directly to me in this clip, and he said, and then he goes into this idea of regeneration. He talks about how God, he must take out your heart of stone, he must give you a heart of flesh, and he explains how it's a miracle even greater than the miracle of creation, because he says that God made all things ex nihilo, out of nothing, but he actually has to do, he turns a dead sinner, a sinner who's against God, and he makes them now alive, and actually changes their heart positively towards him. So he makes this amazing explanation, and I'm staring at the screen, my jaw just drops. And I remember for like 2 days, I couldn't like talk. I was so shocked by this. And my wife, she was, you know, along on this journey with me all along. So I started saying, like, "I think I'm a Calvinist," because I studied everything so much to disprove it. I knew the 5 points, and I knew how they sort of all hinged on each other. So once Paul Washer made me see the need for regeneration, which in the Tulip is irresistible grace, once that chain link closed, the other ones just slammed closed around it, and it all just consistently made sense. And I realized that this was the only way I could think now. So, I mean, it was, people talk about it being the third birth, being born again. It was extremely dramatic for me to realize that God had chosen me when I never would have chosen him.
Amen.
That's how I became a Calvinist.
And how did you eventually find a church that was faithful to those teachings?
So that same friend Tanner, he had found a church in Palm City, Florida. It was a Reformed Baptist church, and he invited me to there. So I went there for a little while, ended up, now I'm back in Port St. Lucie, and I go to a wonderful Presbyterian church called Christ the King, and I am personally a Presbyterian now.
Wow, you live in Port St. Lucie, and so does my very first pastor now, my very first pastor as a born-again believer, Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, the ad that you heard earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, he lives in Port St. Lucie now.
He came to visit our church a few times.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a wonderful man and a dear brother. But let's backtrack a little bit, because I want to prevent any unnecessary angry calls or emails from Calvary Chapel pastors or members. From what I recall, and I'm not an expert on Calvary Chapel, but I don't think that they are full-blown Pelagian. You were talking before.
No.
And again, to remind our listeners, Pelagianists believe that we are born basically spiritually neutral. We're not born with original sin or depravity, that is something learned by humans. And and of course, a full-blown Pelagian does not even believe that grace is required of salvation. It's just a help that may be a good thing to have, and is a good thing to have, but it's not a required thing for salvation, according to the full-blown Pelagian, as opposed to a semi-Pelagian or an Arminian.
Yeah, and just to, so Calvary Chapel has their distinctives all written, and they like to say that they're somewhere between Calvinist and Arminian, and in a sense they are, but I think if you really read through their points, they're mostly Arminian, and then they agree with the perseverance of the saints.
They do?
The Pelagian heresy, they believe you can't lose your salvation.
Really? All of them believe that?
Yep.
Oh, I did not
know that.
Well,
that's the distinctive. That's Chuck Smith's official
doctrine. Oh, wow.
So the Pelagian heresy is my fault alone, and nobody backed me up on that. Nobody was teaching that to me at Calvary Chapel. You're right. That needs to be clarified.
You might find this humorous. I'm fairly certain you will. One of my new two pastors at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which is a confessionally reformed Baptist church, one of them, Simon O'Manny, who is originally from Cork, Ireland, and also spent some time in California here in the United States, he was also a member of a Calvary Chapel. And he was told by his Calvary Chapel pastor that beware of Calvinism because it will turn you into an adulterer and a drug addict. And it's kind of an interesting reversal here. You are a drug addict, or at least you were a frequent yeah. user of dangerous drugs, and you became a
yeah.
But he said he warned Simon especially stay away from James White and his book The Potter's Freedom. So what did Simon do? He immediately got a hold of The Potter's Freedom, and the Lord used it to bring him to the doctrines of grace. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I will say that's the first thing I grabbed onto when I became a Calvinist. I looked in iTunes because I was going through all these systematic theology courses that they had for free on iTunes, and I started searching for Calvinism, and I found The Dividing Line, this amazing podcast, and I listened to all the archives and just ate it all up. And James White always says that, not trying to pick on Calvary Chapel too much, but it's sort of a funny thing. He says the Calvary Chapel famously makes Calvinists because they don't want you to believe it, but they do encourage you to read your Bible.
Yes.
and then you do, and you end up with these questions about this thing about election and Romans 9 and all these things, and, you know. Yeah, kind of humorous.
Yeah, in the 1990s, I don't know if you're familiar with Peter Jeffrey. He's now with the Lord in heaven, but he was a friend of mine. He was a preacher and writer from Wales. In fact, he at one time pastored the church originally pastored by Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones in Port Talbot, in Port Talbot, Wales, Sandfields, it's called. And Peter used to make frequent trips, or at least annual trips, to the United States, and he was a favorite among certain Calvary Chapel folks, and the Lord was leading them into the doctrines of grace, and they were either voluntarily or involuntarily leaving the Calvary Chapel. And in fact, a couple of pastors, if I'm not mistaken, also, because of hearing the doctrines of grace through Peter. And if you don't know Peter, you got to get a hold of his sermons and books. He's written, he had written at least 20 to 30 books, at least. But really a powerful preacher of the gospel now in heaven. One more thing to move on to. This may be something that scholars can sit around behind closed doors in libraries and so on debating or arguing over. But before, and we will get to this later because this is really the heart of the matter. You were mentioning about all the world's religions being synergistic, and then, of course, those who believe in the doctrines of grace being monergistic because salvation is all of God. For the first time ever, I heard someone say that there is a bad monergism, too. In fact, this was a Calvinist named Jerry Johnson. I don't know if you're familiar with Jerry. He was a part of the production of the Amazing Grace videos that you mentioned before. And Jerry actually categorizes Pelagianism as monergistic, but in a bad way, Finney, for instance, he said that God has no essential role at all in a man's salvation. Charles Finney, who is a full-blown Pelagianist, not even a semi-Pelagianist. And so, therefore, he is monergistic, but not in a good way.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting.
But so you become a member of a good Reformed church, and now we are talking about a movie, a documentary known as Calvinist. And tell us something about, well, let me, before we do that, I'm going to at least let a couple of our listeners have their questions heard.
Sure.
First of all, I don't know if you're familiar. I don't usually give the full names of people who write in questions, but since I want to give a plug to this brother's ministry, I've been a guest on his show, and he's been a guest on my show, Dwayne Atkinson. Are you familiar with Dwayne?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I've been on his show as well.
Yeah, so Dwayne,
the
Bar podcast, and as I just chuckle every time I think of it, Dwayne gets a little frustrated because people automatically think the Bar stands for Black and Reformed when it stands for Biblical and Reformed.
Biblical and Reformed.
It just so happens that Dwayne happens to be Black, but more importantly, he's a biblical Christian. But he asks a very good question. He asks a couple of them. He says, what was your goal for the movie Calvinist? That's a very good question, because you already mentioned how Amazing Grace, the history and theology of Calvinism, was already in existence and was a part of you coming to the doctrines of grace. Why did you say, well, we need something else? What was the driving force? What was the goal of this movie, this documentary, Calvinist?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to, I think one of the coolest things about watching certain kinds of documentaries is just the story, sort of the human interest aspect of it. And the fact that this was sort of a phenomenon that I saw happening all around me, I thought that part of it was just a story worth telling. And also, I also kind of wanted to bring my own aesthetic to sort of to the whole genre. I guess I just wanted to make a movie in the way that I wanted to make a movie, which included a lot of animation. And, you know, whenever I would sit down with people and try to explain doctrines, I would almost every single time I'd pull out a piece of paper and draw some, you know, some diagram or something, trying to explain. I'm very visual in that way. So I figured it'd just be really fun to be able to use my artistic abilities to try to explain things in these various ways. Also, there's the very selfish reason that I wanted to meet all these guys and have them answer my questions, which was a lot of fun. But I definitely think that Amazing Grace was one of my big inspirations, and I just kind of wanted to bring it to a new generation, make it a little more compact, not necessarily make his movie again, but bring the teachings and all that to the forefront. And also, you know, there's people like, there's parts of the movie that talk about different things, like the dangers of celebrity pastors, and the very interesting thing that happened in the hip-hop world, where there was Reformed theology was very prevalent through hip-hop, and those are things that I was able to highlight that a more serious movie maybe wouldn't have been able to.
Well, it's actually, though, as I said before, I want to get Shai Lin on the program, because I happen to be one of those Christians who don't find anything wrong at all with rap in a proper setting, as long as there is a key element that is prominent in rap music, especially secular rap music, is absent. And that is something that God even counts among the things he hates, which is a haughty look. And the rap industry champions haughtiness and arrogance and pride, and I would hope that a biblically minded Christian would not imitate that part of hip hop and rap when they bring the gospel into it. And then I have not seen anything like that with Shai Lin and some other of the excellent hip hop artists that are Christian. But I also believe that this is something that is not something that I would want to see in a worship service. But at the same time, like I said, there are many things, actually, that I love and participate in and enjoy that shouldn't be in a rap, in a worship service, not just rap. But I'd love to get Shai Lin on to discuss those different things, and even perhaps have somebody that opposes rap, and we can have a Christian discussion in a very level-headed and bibliocentric way without getting into an argument or anything like that.
Sure.
And we have Dwayne also asks, what was the harsh criticism that made you think you could have done something different with the movie besides not having me and Chris Arnzen in it? Yeah, I guess my invitation got lost in the mail or something.
That's funny.
Has there been harsh criticism of this documentary?
Well, harsh, let's see. There has been criticism. There has been criticism from the people that I would expect it from, like Arminians. It's very, very interesting the way one Arminian in particular reviewed the movie. And he sort of took every criticism I was making about sort of like the shallowness of the church in general as a criticism against Arminianism. So it's almost like he thought that the movie was specifically criticizing Arminianism as a theological system, when it really wasn't. It's more of a criticism of the church that we found ourselves in 10 years ago, my generation, and you know, how that led us to find these doctrines. So that criticism doesn't hurt, because, you know, I expect Arminians to not like the movie. The only other criticisms, there were some articles written by people that just don't like me very much. There are some discernment blog typed people out there who think that I am young, restless, and reformed, and, you know, I'm trying to promote debauchery and things like this, whatever, because I enjoy the things Presbyterians have always historically enjoyed. But those people, there was this one specific article that was saying, you know, beer guzzling hipster makes a movie about Calvinism. And then he went through all these, he basically said, I found all these people who said the movie's great and all the content is great, but you shouldn't watch it because people like Joe Thorne have tattoos and are known to drink alcohol. So it was the funniest article, because he said the movie was great, basically, but he said that you need to steer clear of all these dangerous new Calvinists.
Right.
So that was probably the harshest. The people that I want to enjoy the movie really, really enjoyed the movie, so I can't ask for more than that.
Well, we are going now to our midway break. By the way, thank you, Dwayne Atkinson of The Bar, and I want to give our listeners his website is thebarpodcast.com, thebarpodcast.com, and The Bar stands for Biblical and Reformed, not the alcohol we were just talking about, and nor does it stand for Black and Reformed, even though Dwayne happens to be Black. It's Biblical and Reformed, thebarpodcast.com. We're going to our elongated break. This is our longer break because Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida requires of us a long break, but use this time to write down questions for our guest today, Les Lanphier, and also write down questions, or should I say, write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can properly respond to them and patronize them. That, once again, our email address, if you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if the question involves a personal and private matter. And right now, we're having difficulties with the computer here. There we go. But we look forward to hearing from you and your own questions, whether you agree with our guest, whether you disagree, whether you are not certain at all. We would love to hear from you at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be back with Les Lanfear and more on his documentary, Calvinist.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are 4 ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org. hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease. Shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at CVBBS.com. That's CVBBS.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call CVBBS.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. You can call that number Monday through Friday, typically between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time when they man that phone line. They do not have a voicemail, so if there's no answer, then just call back the next day during those hours I mentioned, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, if you're calling Monday through Friday. Of course, you can order online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year at CVBBS.com, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. If you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you purchase a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise, you will receive absolutely free A.W. Pink's book, The Holy Spirit, and you will also receive free shipping on your entire order of $50 or more. Please always remember to mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Les Lanphier and our discussion on his documentary, Calvinist, we just have a couple of very important announcements to make. Coming up August 2nd through the 4th, the Fellowship Conference New England is being held once again at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And the speakers at this conference include Tim Conway, Mac Tomlinson, Jesse Barrington, and Nate Pickowitz. If you'd like to attend that conference, the website is fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. All of these men believe firmly in the doctrines known as Calvinism or the doctrines of sovereign grace or Reformed theology, but the themes are different. The Fellowship Conference New England is one of those rare conferences where there is no central theme, so each man will bring to you what is burdening his heart at that time to share with you from, or should I say proclaim to you from, the Scriptures. So that's fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, and it's being held August 2nd through the 4th in Portland, Maine. Please also mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you register. Also coming up in November 9th through the 10th, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania. That's the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, not to be confused with the Reformed Town Conference on Quaker Theology. It's the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. The theme is the glory of the cross, and the speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn, November 9th through the 10th. I will be manning, God willing, an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitor's booth at the conference, so if you register and you attend, please stop by and say hello. Go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, to register, and we look forward to seeing you there. Then, coming up in January, my favorite of all conferences that I look forward to, like a kid waiting to open up his Christmas presents. And that is the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, technically in College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, at the Georgia International Convention Center. And they are expecting over 4,000 people this January at the G3 Conference. It's being held from January 17th, which is a Thursday, through January 19th, which is a Saturday. And the speakers, a very long list of speakers, I think just about as long as the list of speakers on Les Lanphier's documentary. We have Paul Washer, John Piper, David Platt, Stephen Lawson, Vody Baucom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, my favorite of all preachers alive on the planet Earth, the pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and chancellor of the African Christian University. Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, the ministry of John MacArthur, Josh Bice, my dear friend, who is the director of G3 Ministries, which stands for Grace, Gospel, and Glory, by the way. Anthony Mathenia, who is Paul Washer's pastor. Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. And the list goes on. And if you'd like to register, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. You can also not only register to attend, but you could register for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be having. This will be my third year manning an exhibitor's booth at the G3 conference, God willing. And with 4,000 people milling around, it's well worth your investment to sponsor an exhibitor's booth. So you can go to g3conference.com for that as well. And last but not least, this is my least favorite part of the program, where I have to rattle my tin cup and beg you for money. I dislike it intensely, but it is something that is urgently needed if we are to remain on the air. I thank all of you that have responded to the SOS calls for help that have bailed us out of some pretty crucial circumstances that funds were urgently needed, and you helped us to pay bills that were overdue, and you came to our rescue. We thank you. Before we enter into another valley of dry land like that again, where our donations dry up, if you could please continue to donate to us so that we don't have to experience that scary situation again, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, then click to donate now. You could also mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that you will see pop up on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. I try to always remember to remind you that I never want anybody siphoning money out of their regular giving that they're accustomed to their local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to us. Those are two commands of God, supporting your family and your church. Supporting my radio program is not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands I mentioned, please consider donating as much as you can and as often as you can to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you love the show and you don't want it to go away. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you are advertising is compatible with what we believe here, then we will be more than happy to help you launch an ad campaign, because we truly could use your advertising dollars. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's also the email address to send in a question to Les Lanthier on his documentary movie Calvinist. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And let's see here. We have another question from a listener. And again, I'm going to mention the full name, because when it comes to pastors who are pastoring churches that I believe are biblically faithful, I like to give them a plug. We have Pastor Jerry Schumann of Ludlow Baptist Church in Ludlow, Vermont, who has a question. Oh, and by the way, very quickly, Dwayne Atkinson, I forgot to mention that you have won a free DVD of the movie Calvinist. So make sure that we have your full mailing address in Greenville, South Carolina, so that we can ship that out to you as soon as we get them in our hands. They are currently in the mail to us by the grace and generosity of Les Lanthier and his ministry. So you will get that as soon as we have an opportunity to mail it out, or should I say, as soon as Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, has an opportunity to mail it out to you. Pastor Jerry Schumann of Ludlow Baptist Church says, in your preparation for and work on the film Calvinist, what new things did you learn about the modern reform movement that you found to be most encouraging, and what new things did you find to be the most concerning? For those things that are weaknesses, failings, or sins in the Reformed Church, what counsel or advice would you give?
Well, I think some of the most, the things that I didn't really know that much about, Stephen Lawson did a really good job of explaining some of the roots of the modern Reformation, the resurgence, and also Michael Horton had some really good commentary on that too, talking about how it all sort of began with Martin Lloyd-Jones, and then you know ultimately in Philadelphia with the Confessing Evangelicals.
Oh, you mean James Montgomery Boyce?
Yes, Boyce.
In fact, you dedicated the movie to him. How could you forget James Montgomery Boyce?
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, with James Montgomery Boyce there in Philadelphia with the conference on Reformed Theology at 10th Presbyterian. And then R.C. Sproul and Boyce together had just such a huge influence on promoting Reformed theology in America, and then, you know, passing that on to the next generation, and then suddenly I'm a Calvinist. So that was all very, very interesting to me. And I guess some of the concerning things are the things that are pointed out in the movie. Some of the cautionary things are the celebrityism of Reformed theology. We kind of have all our hero pastors, and I think the solution to that issue is to not put all of your investment, your intellectual and spiritual investment, into these pastors online, but to actually plug in and be really rooted in your local church and your own pastor, and also confessionalism, knowing that there's a lineage here and there's a history, and we're not making this up for the first time. That's really, really important, especially in the Reformed world. We have these rich, amazing Reformed confessions that people have really dug through all this stuff, and there's very, very few things that aren't covered in these confessions as far as theology goes. So that's sort of the things that I guess every generation maybe struggles with, and we did as well. And then another issue in the movie that was brought up is just the idea of race, specifically that Reformed theology just naturally throughout the centuries hasn't seemed to do a good job of reaching minorities and people outside of the intellectual white, predominantly white. And that's, you know, the solution to that is essentially just love your neighbor and go out of your way to share this theology with them and give them all the same opportunities we would want. And so
I'm sure you would, I'm sure you would agree, though, that the complexion of Calvinism has radically changed, at least since I was a Christian. And when I became a Christian in the 80s, I would go to Reform conferences, and it would be a very diverse group. It would be white, off-white, lily white, you know. But since then, I have seen quite a large number of African-American, Hispanic brothers and sisters. I rarely go to a Reform conference now that doesn't have a reasonably good representation from those brothers and sisters, and it is growing. And I think that we have to have to be very careful, I think, also, as I have unfortunately seen, and this is a whole other story that we've already addressed in different shows and will probably address again, but there is an unfortunate thing going on with social justice warriors within the church who are combating racism with racism.
Yeah.
Just that the targets happen to be white, and they are claiming, many of them, I'm not saying all of them, many of them are claiming that they are incapable of being guilty of the sin of racism because they happen to be of a different skin color than white. And that's a tragedy. It's a lie from the pit of hell. As my dear brother in Christ, Bob Cameron, now in heaven, an Orthodox Presbyterian pastor who was also a black brother in Christ, as he used to say, racism is a sin problem, not a skin problem, and everybody, no matter what color they are, can be very easily prone toward that wickedness.
Yes, yeah. I'm very politically conservative and all that, but I've even seen some people that reacted to my movie and saying, you know, that whole section on race shouldn't have been in there and all that. And, you know, I think that we can do is just listen to each other and don't, you know, if one side says that the other side is making things up, that's not going to help, you know. And if the other side is saying, you know, you're evil and trying to take over the world and you have not a good ounce of goodness in you, within the church, these are things that can't be. We have to love one another. We have to listen to each other. We can't be calling each other liars left and right, you know.
Right.
So that's really all that we can do, and do everything we can in Christ to love one another.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Jerry at Ludlow Baptist Church. You have also won a free DVD of Calvinist, produced by our guest today, Les Lanfear. And for those of you listening, if you live in Vermont or intend to visit there, or if you have loved ones there, the website for Ludlow Baptist Church in Ludlow, Vermont is ludlowbaptist.org. That's L-U-D-L-O-W baptist.org. Thanks again, Pastor Jerry. Let's see here. We have Ted from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I have to enlarge Ted's font on his email because I'm going blind. And let's see here. Ted in Tuscaloosa, Alabama says, I knew this was a very serious project when I noticed while watching the trailer that Stephen Lawson apparently bought himself a new necktie for his appearance in the documentary. But another thing I noticed is that one of the interviewees in your documentary is identified as a podcaster. By the way, I don't propose to identify who this is for fear that I will never be allowed to ask a question on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio again. Maybe this is a generational thing, but podcaster struck me as an odd credential for being interviewed in a theological documentary. Of course, I haven't seen the documentary yet, only the trailer. Would your guest mind commenting on this? Wow, what a nitpicker Ted from Tuscaloosa, Alabama is. Go ahead.
That's funny. Yeah, pretty much everybody in the movie is a podcaster, I guess. Everyone's a podcaster these days. He's referring to Summer White, Summer Yeager, Summer White in the film. I asked her what I should put down for her credentials. I could have put daughter of James White. That would have been a good credential, I guess. But we settled on podcaster because that's kind of what she's most well known for. I interviewed her because I like her a lot. And I was in Arizona, and I also needed a female voice in my movie, which I apparently didn't get enough of. That is one criticism I got, that there weren't enough women in the movie. But, you know, you're always going to get, never going to make everybody happy.
And, of course, you could always get criticism that you have too many women in the movie.
Yes, of course.
And Summer is a very, very, very bright young woman. And
she, yes, she is.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as they say.
Yep.
In fact, whether you look upon this favorably or with criticism, both of her names, before and after marriage, sound like cocktails to me. Summer White is obviously sounds like Chardonnay to me, and and Summer Yeager is also sounds like a mixed drink of some kind. But anyway,
yeah.
But anyway,
I like that drink.
I'm sorry.
That is not a good drink, in my opinion.
But thank you very much, Ted. And you have also won a free DVD of the movie or the documentary Calvinist. Thank you for writing in. Make sure we have your full mailing address in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We have a first-time questioner, Patrick. Patrick does not give us his name. I'm sorry, his location, his city and state. If you could email that to us, it would be helpful, Patrick. That's why I repeat that so many times. People wonder why I always go on and on and on about repeating where you are from, your city and state, and your country of residence. Well, this is why, because Patrick didn't do it. But anyway, Patrick, if you could let us know where you are from, that would be helpful. Good afternoon, brothers. When explaining how God is not the author of sin, I often struggle to do so coherently. Could you briefly provide an explanation to how I can share this particular thing? And I think that Patrick has actually hit on something that is at the core of the opposition that many have to Calvinism. They are trying to defend the character of God because they think wrongly that Calvinists have invented this monster of a God who forces people that would otherwise not sin to sin. As if men are theologically and spiritually and morally neutral, and God, who is playing a chess game from outer space, is making these people who would otherwise go to heaven, he's making them disobey him. And this is just a very slanderous and false character. And I'm not saying that Patrick is slandering it, but many people, many in ignorance and many purposefully, who hate Calvinism, have constructed this idea of what we believe in their minds. But if you could respond to that.
Sure. Well, I think there's two amazing, necessary doctrines in Scripture that are very clearly taught. One is that men are accountable, and they will be judged for their behavior, for their actions, and specifically for their sins. We sin because we want to sin, so much so that we are actually born in sin and unable to do anything but sin. And even though that's true, we will still be held accountable for every action that we do. And the other side of that is that God truly has decreed everything that happens, and ultimately that has to include sin. And when we think about the cross, that's the perfect example of how we know that's true, that God was pleased crush his son. He actually crushed his son, but that happened by the hands of sinful men who betrayed their own Messiah, handed him over unjustly to be executed, and men drove nails into an innocent man's hands and feet, and they killed the innocent Son of God. So that's sin taking place, but God has ordained that sin would take place. So there's both of those ideas have to be held up, and neither of them can be denied. And there has to be some area in the middle. You can say as much as you want about God ordaining everything that happens, and men are still responsible. There is going to be some overlap there, where there's some kind of mysterious intertwining, and that's just a part of the way theology works. You can't wrap your mind around everything that God has done. But we do know that God is not the author of sin in the sense that nothing God has decreed is sinful from his perspective, because he's doing all things for our good and for his glory. So if God ends a person's life, that's not sinful, because God is that person's creator, he is their sustainer, and he has all authority to take that person's life away. But if I take someone's life, I do not have that authority, and God has revealed to me that I cannot do that lawfully. So if I take someone's life, I'm in sin. God has decreed that person's life would end, and he decreed the means that it would take place, but I'm the sinner because my motive is sinful. God's motive is only for good and for his glory ultimately. That's how I would answer.
Yes, because even the Arminian has to realize that the death of Christ, as you were describing before, was ordained before the foundation of the world. This was a thing that would certainly happen. And that does not mean that God forced innocent people to do this. But he did, at the same time, use human beings who are wicked to bring about the ends of what he had ordained. And so this is something that all Christians need to grapple with. We just happen to believe that God is so powerful and sovereign that nothing slips by him. He's not just sitting back watching like a sentry and doing nothing, which also brings about a problem for the non-Calvinist as to why God doesn't stop certain things. If he knows all things, why is he just sitting back and watching them? And then, of course, we, as Calvinists, believe that he brings about everything that comes to pass, but he himself is not guilty of sin. And we even, you know, we have other examples of this, obviously, in the Scriptures, where where you see horrible things happening, and it is clear from the text that God is the one that brought those things to come to pass.
Like Genesis 50, for example, Joseph's brothers throw him into a pit, sell him to slavery, all this evil, but at the very end of the book of Genesis, Joseph explains to his brothers that what you meant for evil, the action being throwing me into a pit and selling me into slavery, you meant that for evil, but God meant that exact same action, me going into slavery, for good. And actually, if he hadn't been sold into slavery and lied about by Potiphar's wife and ended up second in command over all of Egypt, then all of the known world would have died, not to mention Israel and all of the bloodline of Christ. So God was sustaining the bloodline of Christ by having Joseph betrayed by his brothers. But the brothers weren't forced to do it. It just so happens that their desires fell perfectly in line with God's decree, and that's how it always happens.
Yeah, we even have in 2 Samuel 12 a classic example where Nathan the prophet is splashing a bucket of cold water in David's face and making him realize that he has committed the great atrocities of adultery and murder with in regard to Bathsheba and her husband Uriah, and the Lord speaking through Nathan. This is God saying, out of your own household I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did this in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. I will do this, he says. That's quite an amazing thing for God to be saying, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you very much, Patrick. And we still haven't heard from Patrick where he is from. But if you would like to receive the free DVD that you have won as a result of writing in, and also since you are a first-time questioner, if you would like to receive a brand-new New American Standard Bible, which we give to all of our first-time questioners, then please give us your full mailing address, obviously off the air, and we will have that shipped out to you. Thanks a lot for listening, Patrick, and for being a first-time questioner. We are going to our final break right now, and this is a briefer break than normal. And so don't be dismayed that we're going to another station break. But now is your time to write in a question if you intend to write one, because we're rapidly running out of time. Once again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your world trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation, with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. This is our last segment of the program today with our guest Les Lanphier. We are discussing his documentary movie, A Calvinist. If you'd like to join us now, do so, or forever hold your peace, because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have an anonymous listener from overseas. And this anonymous listener says, I have been an Arminian because I didn't know anything else. The Calvinists I had known had been out with battle swords, and people stood back lest they get their heads chopped off. Of course, she is using an allegory here. Everybody was allergic to them because of the manner in which they delivered their apologetic. Meanwhile, I am reading a lot of books on the Reformed teaching and am now of the persuasion that I believe in monergism, that I had absolutely nothing to do with my salvation. It was all God's work. I understand about three of the 5 points of Calvinism, but I get stuck when Calvinists say Christ did not die for everyone, but just for the elect, when Isaiah 53 says the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How do you explain that verse, please? Also, do you have to believe all the 5 points of TULIP to be reformed, as only able to grasp, as I'm only able to grasp three or four at the moment? Yet, I love the Westminster Catechism. Thanks for taking the time to read this. And she does say something very key here. Yet.
Yes.
Because we were all in a yet position at one time. We're not Calvinists yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is obviously, her description of Calvinists at times being out of control with, as they call them very often, cage stage Calvinists. But even those that live to ripe old ages never leave that cage stage, some of them. But I've been in Christian media for going back to the 80s, and we're not the only ones that behave with swing the battle axes. There are a lot of different theological camps that do that. I think it just has to do with the person's own sinful behavior. But anyway, if you could respond to our anonymous listener overseas here.
Sure. Well, I'll start by saying you're asking if all five points have to be embraced in order to be called reformed. That's a little difficult to answer just because the word reformed is defined in so many various ways.
J.C. Ryle was a Amaraldian, a four-point Calvinist, and reformed people love J.C. Ryle, the 19th century Anglican bishop who was very Calvinistic in all but one point.
And so you know, the title reformed depends on how much you want it, I guess. But the five points of Calvinism are logically and necessarily connected. So I would say that if someone is a three- or four-point Calvinist, it's really just a matter of thinking it through a little more consistently. And so if you embrace the idea that you had nothing to do with your salvation, in the sense that God is the one who opened your eyes, well, that would mean that you were unable to do so beforehand, so now you believe in total depravity and you believe in irresistible grace. And if God isn't doing that work to everyone, and he's only doing it to those individuals to whom he chooses to open their eyes, like he did with you, then you also must believe in election, and that was unconditional. So there's you got T-U and I. As far as the atonement goes, it's really just a matter of defining what that is. What is the atonement? What's actually happening? Because if it's an actual atonement, a payment, because that's what we're talking about, Jesus substitutionarily dying on behalf of other people. If Jesus' atonement actually paid a debt, then the debt is actually paid, and that person who was paid for can't suffer for their own sins. So that means you have two options. Either everyone goes to heaven and we're universalists, or Jesus only died for those same people who he elected, who the Father elected before the foundation of the world, and those same people who the Holy Spirit would open their eyes. And there's an amazing consistency to that if you think about it. The Father elected before the foundation of the world. The Son then pays the debt for that same group of people, and then the Holy Spirit comes in time, in our lifetime, and comes and opens our eyes. So now we have the Father electing, the Son paying the debt for those elect, and then the Holy Spirit regenerating and opening the eyes of those elect. So they all have this, they're not contradicting each other. They all have the same group of people in mind, and they're all working on the same group of people. So it's not that Jesus is trying to save everyone, but the Father hasn't elected everyone, and the Holy Spirit refuses, you know, to regenerate some of those people that Jesus died for. And as far as that quote from Isaiah goes, just keep in mind that sometimes in Scripture, you have to remember who the audience is, and that Scripture is directed to Israel, the God's people.
Isaiah 53. So,
yes, Isaiah 53. So he's directing that to the people of God, and he's assuring us, we are now the people of God, that all of our sins, the sins of all of the church, all of true Israel, they were actually placed on Christ, and the Father was pleased to crush him as our substitute.
Yes, you said something very key here, because some of the verses that non-Calvinists use trying to attempt to exegete a universal understanding of the death of Christ and the redemption that he provided, they fail to even recognize. And sometimes in the beginning of those letters, like in the New Testament, you will have a greeting to the brothers and sisters in Christ and so on. So the audience that is being spoken to is very key in understanding when the words all and so on are used. And also, especially when you're talking about the New Testament, I'm sure you would agree that since we have John describing who will be worshiping the Lamb in the book of Revelation as those from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, That is a very frequent way that people use the word all when they're describing all kinds of men, all kinds of people, and not every single person that has ever lived. But the key of the matter is, which you mentioned, is what did Christ do on the cross? Did he make men redeemable, or did he redeem them?
Yep.
And if he redeemed people with certainty, then everybody is going to heaven if he died to definitely redeem everyone for whom he died. And you have the problem of the universalist, as you said. So, as my former pastor, Mike Adash, who you met, used to say in regard to John the Baptist, saying, as Arminians have said to me, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And and Mike Gadosh said, yeah, but he also said, who takes away, who taketh away the sin of the world. So what do you want to fiddle with, what he actually did or the way someone uses the term world, which even in common ordinary speech, people use that phrase word and the word and the word world and the word all and so on in different ways. So anyway,
absolutely.
In fact, D. James Kennedy does a very humorous explanation of that in the other documentary that we were mentioning, Amazing Grace, if you may recall, when he says people use all the time, and he said, I just did it there, all the time. Well, are they saying it all the time? if you may remember that. Well, thank you, Anonymous, from overseas, and keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and sending us questions. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. In your research, are the younger Calvinists reading... Let me start again. In your research, are the younger Calvinist reading, or I guess he should say, are the younger Calvinists reading the Reformers? And if so, who did they read the most? I guess he's talking about like a poll or something that you might have taken amongst younger Calvinists.
I think there was early on, it was like we were kind of reading the celebrity pastors. Once there was kind of like the Driscoll thing happened, there was a big controversy that happened in Seattle with Mark Driscoll. And there was this sort of tension that came upon the movement, I would say, that caused people to go one of either way. You either like sort of take your tulip and you go back to your non-denominational sort of church, and you're a little Calvinist-y now. And I would run across all these young people, and I would ask them, are you a Calvinist? And they would say no. And then I would ask if they've ever heard of Reformed theology, and they would say, oh, yeah, I'm Reformed. And they weren't, they were going to non-denominational churches. And so they grabbed onto that word because of sort of this movement. So people really embrace the sovereignty of God now, it seems, in my generation. They're very much more comfortable embracing it, but they weren't sort of chasing after the tradition of Reformed theology, which I think is a mistake. That's the wrong way to go. If you're going to embrace this thing, you have to understand that it belongs in the tradition it grew in. So you can't just sort of take the parts that you like and leave everything else, because it all belongs together. And our mission as Reformed people, Reformers, trying to reform the church, or at least our own theology, we want to keep reforming. And that means we want to reform our view of the church, we want to reform our view of our family, and our view of work, and of every aspect of life. And that happens through looking at what the Reformers were saying and looking at what the Bible actually says through the lens of these doctrines. So to answer the question, Some of them did start reading the Reformers, and I think Calvin is probably the most popular. One guy that his work was just released a few years ago, and it's fabulous, and I would say was one of the biggest instrumental things that convinced me of paedobaptism, which is why I'm a Presbyterian now, is Bovink.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. Only kidding, go ahead.
that's good. Bovink was just translated into English, and he has this amazing four-volume set that everybody's getting. It's like $120, and everyone got one for Christmas, and like the sort of the circles that I know online. So yeah, people are reading Calvin and Bovink, and obviously people like A.W. Pink, and so yeah, I mean, a large group of these people decided that Young, Restless, and Reformed is a stepping stone into confessional, you know, truly Reformed theology.
By the way, I want to thank Patrick for letting us know that he's from Kentwood, Michigan, previous listener who wrote in for the first time. And now you need to give me your full mailing address, Patrick, if you want to get the free DVD that Les Landfear and his ministry have provided for us. Before we run out of time, I think that we should give some appropriate words of caution and warning to our fellow Calvinists. We may have mentioned this already, but I think it deserves or warrants repeating that we should never allow these precious truths that we have come to embrace and have become so excited about to elevate our pride as if we figured this out through our own intellect. The doctrines of grace are meant to humble us to the dirt, are they not?
Yes, they are. Yeah, there's actually a section in the movie about how our zeal can get out of control, and it's actually called the cage stage in the movie, which is, I think James White coined that term, and that just means that when you embrace this new set of doctrines, you suddenly are so excited about it that that's all you want to talk about, and you start even questioning the salvation of those who don't embrace it. James White says that you'd be better served if you were placed in a cage for a few years until you were able to cool off so you couldn't hurt anybody in the meantime. So, yeah, it's a real danger. I went through it pretty hard, and it's not a good look, and you're absolutely right. The doctrine should only serve to humble us.
To make us aware that our only hope is God and his mercy and grace, and that we rely upon him for everything, and that we cannot brag or boast about anything. And it's just amazing how very often, and now, again, I have to repeat, it's not just Calvinists that do this, but I think Calvinists are the phrase that I'm looking for. We should know better than to be proud, because other theological systems, even within Christendom, lend themselves to taking credit yourself for things that you do, whereas the theology of Calvinism strips that away, and yet people still want to take credit for it, and they want to look down upon brothers in Christ as if they are inferior or stupid just because they have had the great insight and wisdom and intellect to figure these things out, as if that was the reason they figured these things out. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek here.
Yeah, good warning.
Now, I wonder if you have heard, and it made me think of it in the beginning of the documentary, where you have all these people saying, I'm a Calvinist, I'm a Calvinist, I'm a Calvinist, and I'm sure that there are going to be anti-Calvinists who see that. I'm not disagreeing with your use of that. I'm just saying that there may be Calvinists, even for the sheer fact that you made this video called Calvinist, or this movie, I should say, or this documentary, they will say, see, they worship John Calvin. How do you respond to that kind of thinking? And there are even our brothers in Christ who are technically Calvinists, but do not at all want to use that label, because they say, I only want to give glory to God. I don't want to give glory to John Calvin. John Calvin didn't even want a marked grave when he died. Sure. He would hate that we're using the term. So how do you explain this, and how do you defend we who believe these things as not being idol worshippers when it comes to John Calvin? Of course, there may be many among us who are sinfully idol worshippers when it comes to John Calvin. But those of us who are not, if you could explain.
Sure. So it's kind of like saying that, the only title you can ever use for your religious stance is that you're a Christian, which is great. I love that title, obviously. I love it dearly, much more than I love the title Calvinist. But if I walk up to somebody and I say, I'm a Christian, and he says, well, he's a Christian, we could just settle on that and call it a day, but if we spend any time together, then we're going to start to understand that there's some differences in the ways we believe about things. And so most people, even the people who say, I only claim to be a Christian, you don't, really. Nobody does.
Right.
You would at least probably claim to be a Protestant if you're not a Roman Catholic or a Greek Orthodox or something like that.
Born again.
Born again Christian. So you're starting to sort of narrow down these beliefs, and you may be a Baptist or your denomination or things like that, which most people don't really have a problem with because there's not a name attached to it. But the reason we use the word Calvinist is the same reason you would use the word Baptist or any other word like that. It's to distinguish your beliefs and give it a nickname that summarize a bunch of things. And with Calvinism specifically, it's describing a historic disagreement, a historic sort of schism within the Protestant church where it's very stark differences. They were disagreeing on five major heads of doctrine that dealt with salvation. And they were actually saying, I believe that God does it all, and the other side was saying, no, I believe that God and man work together in this. So a very stark schism was present. And at the time, the person who was sort of explaining those things the best, he was dead at the time. Both of them were dead at the time. But the Arminians were following after the most recent teachings of Arminius, and the Calvinists, the person who had defined their belief system the best recently, this brilliant theologian, John Calvin. So they're not worshiping him. They're saying this. They're giving a nickname to this schism, and you fall on either side of this disagreement. You're either an Arminian or you're a Calvinist. And we could say Reformed, but, there's, the Reformation includes Lutherans to a large extent. There's even, the Arminians would say that they were part of that Reformation movement. We've won the day as far as the title goes. Calvinist and Reformed are somewhat synonymous. But the only reason we use the title is because it's descriptive. It's a nickname for a system of theology. So I don't have to list off every, 50 different doctrines to let you know what I believe. I can just say I'm a Calvinist. And you
right.
understand, for the most part, where I'm coming from.
And by when you summarize this, Christians, above all people, have to be very careful about slandering others. And just because you think that somebody's worshiping John Calvin, it doesn't mean you should be saying that publicly, because most of the time you're a liar when you're saying it. But we are out of time now, and I know that one of the websites where people can find information about Calvinist, the movie, the documentary, is leslanfear.com, your name.com, LESLAN, as in Nancy, PHERE.com. Any other website or information you care to give?
Yeah, you can just type in Calvinist movie into Google or calvinistmovie.com, and that will take you to that same website that you're talking about, and that'll give you all the options to
Calvinist
watch it online.
Calvinistmovie.com.
You can watch it online. You can order a DVD copy. And be on the lookout. I just announced yesterday a soft announcement that I am going to produce another movie, and it's on the subject of worship, and I'm very excited about it.
Oh, great. We have to have you back on to talk about that, definitely.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's going to be called Spirit and Truth.
Great. Well, I want to thank you so much for being my guest again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I look forward to your return to talk about Spirit and Truth. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in. I hope you all have a safe and blessed and beautiful weekend and Lord's Day, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.